The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Source for in-depth business and investing news.
We are Business 1440, KYCR, Golden Valley,
a service of Salem Media Group.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump is in South Korea, where he has put out an invitation to shake the hand of the North Korean dictator, Kim Jong-un, if he wants to show up at the DMZ. At a press conference wrapping up the G20 economic summit in Japan, the president told the Chinese president both sides are now close to reaching a deal on restarting trade talks.
I actually think that we were very close, and then something happened where it slipped a little bit, and now we're getting a little bit closer, but it would be historic if we could do a fair trade deal.
Meanwhile, the president also said at that same press conference he'll fight a federal judge's ruling against building a southern border wall.
I heard we just had another judge rule against us on a section of wall.
That section of the new border wall was set to begin construction on Monday. This is SRN News.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.125%. APR, 4.22%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 0.88% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 33.
American Pressure. Spray it. Don't say it.
I was talking with my 10-year-old son about variety in our radio ads. He said all you talk about is pressure washers, so talk about something else. So I'm going to let you know we also offer CUDA automatic parts washers, water recycling and treatment equipment, and wastewater evaporators, not to mention the free water, soda, or cup of coffee anytime you stop in. Find us at AmericanPressure.com, your family-owned Minnesota pressure washer experts.
Social Security is with you through life's journey. Get to know us at SocialSecurity.gov. We are there, day one, with baby names and a gift that lasts a lifetime. We are there as you grow, protecting you and those you love. We are there when you get your first job, helping you to save for the future. We are there when you marry your sweetheart, to help secure your new life together. We are there if the unexpected happens, to help you see life from a new perspective. We are there when you start your next chapter, to make sure you get off to a great start. And we are there when you lose your soulmate, to help make sure you will be all right. We are with you through life's journey. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. Get to know us and see what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
The Wall Street Business Network is on the air.
The predatory nature now of global capitalism, it's just completely unrestricted. There's no constraints.
These are wild times.
It's the King Banyan Show.
We want to create jobs. The quickest way to do it is to provide more food stamps.
Government is that fiction whereby everybody believes that he can live at the expense of everybody else.
As an educator and former legislator.
And that is the free lunch myth.
Professor Banyan steps out of the classroom and onto the airwaves to break down the local and national economic news that matters to you.
Hip, hip, hooray. Unemployment is down.
We're in an age where common sense sounds esoteric.
It's the King Banyan Show on Business 1440.
Unfortunately, economists' words carry a relatively little weight in politics.
Now, here's King Banyan.
My goal to carry as little weight as I can. King Banyan Show, Business 1440. Good morning and welcome. good to be visiting with you today.
Yes, and if my voice sounds at all different to you, it's because I'm actually at this particular moment in the bunker of the actual mothership. Andrew and I have actually met in meat space for the very first time. This is pretty cool. This is very cool. And the other thing about this is I'm actually in the studio where normally Mitch Berg and Brad Carlson sit in the morning, or afternoon, I should say. I am the morning show. I am the opener of the Northern Alliance Radio Network, just so you know. But thank you to our friends down here at Salem and at Twin Cities, and thank you to opening up the studio to let me do this, because I have to be, while you're listening to this right now, I have to actually be someplace else. So we decided to get this together to you the night before so that we can actually give you fresh news. This is Friday night's news delivered to you on Saturday morning. So it's sort of like the morning newspaper, except with my dulcet tones. This room, Andrew, just reminds me, there are so many memories in this room of doing the initial shows in the Northern Alliance. I remember all kinds of things here, including us revisiting with Andrew the fact that my gallbladder kind of gave up on me while I was interviewing somebody in this room. I looked a fright. I'm pretty sure I scared the dickens out of the guest. I know who the guest is. I'll keep him silent, but he kind of leaned over during one of the breaks. Says, "Are you okay?" And I said, yeah, I'm fine. Although I knew at that moment, I'm going home and I'm going to the hospital. And it was 5 days between that and the time I actually got home to stay. It looks a lot nicer in here than it used to as well. I guess they needed to get me out of here before they could make this look good. We're here, and I was going to give you the phone number, but guess what? We are taping from the studio down here tonight. I won't be able to pick up your phone calls. But you can follow us always on Twitter using hashtag #PoundKBRS, #PoundKBRS. So if you want to see the types of stories that are being talked about here on the show, you go there and you just go through that feed and you find everything you want to know. Got lots of things happening. We're of course keeping our eyes keenly on the G20 meetings. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that because, of course, we're all waiting for some kind of announcement between President Trump and President Xi of China. There have been several announcements already that have come out as we tape this on Friday evening. So if there's something that happened overnight, I'm sorry we missed it. Just go back to that Twitter feed at #PoundKBRS and I'll provide you whatever up-to-date commentary we might have on whatever agreements that happen. I'll talk about those a bit in a moment. We're also going to talk in the second hour today about a number of things. It's a little bit more of a free form because it's that last Saturday of the month. It allows me to get a little more free for me because there isn't a whole lot of economic news out there. There was, of course, news about GDP coming in at the same number for the first quarter. We're about a month out from having the second quarter numbers. Those actually look good. And indeed, I wanted to point out the news of the week in terms of the data on the U.S. economy looks awesome. And people seem to be pretty ebullient about how things are going. If you look at the stock market, depending on which index you're using, it's either the best number in 60 years, it's the best number in 80 years or 90 years. You're seeing, depending on whether you're following the S&P 500 or the Dow Jones Industrial or whatever it is you wish. All those numbers coming in very strong, but they are backed by a very solid week's worth of data. Pending home sales up 1.1%, and that looked good, and refinances seem to be responding. You realize refinancing of mortgages is up 92% year over year? These rates, okay, these interest rates that we're seeing right now are just low enough that everyone... I mean, it even got me to go look. It turns out it doesn't quite make much sense yet for me to refinance because I got a good rate when I did it a couple years ago. But if you're holding a mortgage in the fives, you're
probably throwing money away right now. You probably should. You probably should be starting to think about what. Well, maybe I should go call my. Maybe I should call my bank. Maybe I should call a mortgage broker. There's several of them that advertise here on Business 1440. You can hear. You can get a number for one if you want. If any of you guys want to sponsor this show, that'd be awesome too. But anyway, those numbers are just fantastic, right? Core durable goods orders up 0.4% month over month. That number was really good. It beat the expectation of 0.1. And then and versus the same month last year, capital spending is up just 1%. That's a weak part of it. But nonetheless, that number looks better than it did a month ago. Shipments of core goods up 0.7%, but there has been a rise in inventories. So here's that twist. Whenever I hear people quote the inventory number, I always say to myself, was that rise in inventories to shipments intended or not intended? Sometimes you increase your inventories because you expect sales to go up. If I know tomorrow's going to be a really hot day, I'm going to make more lemonade tonight. Right? That just makes sense. I'm going to get my lemonade in place. I'm going to get that ready to go because I know tomorrow my sales are going to be awesome. If it turns out it's going to be rainy tomorrow, I'm not going to make much lemonade. So if you look at the weather, your inventories are going to be up. So when you go to bed at night, your inventories are up or down based on what you think your sales are going to be tomorrow. But they're also up or down because you may have misguessed. Suppose you looked at the weather and you said it was rain. You thought it was going to rain tomorrow. So you didn't make a lot of lemonade tonight. So tomorrow morning, the sun comes out. It's shiny. It's steamy, hot. Another nice, humid July day in Minnesota. And you're going to be out of lemonade by noon. And you're going to miss the afternoon heat and all the sales would have happened, okay? So you might have low inventories. That's bad. You're going to hurry up and try to make more lemonade. You're going to send somebody out to get some more. Or it could turn out you thought it was going to be sunny and it rains, and now you're stuck with a lot of extra lemonade, right? So in that situation, if you're stuck with extra lemonade that you did not plan to have, then a high inventory to shipment ratio looks bad and it's negative for the economy. But sometimes that number means more. So my point being, you hear people quote this number and they think it tells you means one thing. It doesn't always mean that because it ignores the role of expectations. And the role of expectations, very, very important. Okay. Home price gains, according to CoreLogic in April, were up 3.5%. That's kind of good because that's the slowest since 2012. That means if you're a first-time home buyer, the price rises in your homes is going a little bit less, and that might begin to encourage some more first-time buyers to get into the marketplace. Consumer confidence numbers that we've seen have actually looked pretty good. And if you look elsewhere in the economy and you look elsewhere overseas, the numbers by and large were pretty good. Nonetheless, businesses are not feeling altogether that wonderful. Okay, so the Vistage CEO Confidence Index, which basically takes a sample of about 1,400 chief executive officers of small and middle-sized firms, that number's back down to the worst it's been since the recession in 2009. According to Richard Curtin, who does the University of Michigan Consumer Confidence Survey numbers, he's looked at those results. He's quoted in a news report as saying damage done to the economy from the tariffs, the slowdown in job growth, as well as heightened economic uncertainty has been substantial. Despite these concerns, firms still held net favorable views that the Trump administration has helped their businesses. So that's an interesting piece because that we're sitting on pins and needles waiting to hear what happens at the G20. I'm sitting on pins and needles waiting to hear what they do at the G20. There have been deals announced, but not the big one that everyone's waiting on, the China-US. What are they going to do next? We haven't had that yet. Businesses still feel good. I think anything that happens out of that other than a complete train wreck is going to get celebrated Monday morning in the market It's going to get celebrated in terms of an increase in business confidence, because right now they could not have possibly talked down expectations much more than they have. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that. But my point is, the confidence numbers, depending on where you look, positive maybe on the consumer side, maybe a little negative on the business side. But if you look at the hard data of the last week or 2 weeks, that hard data has been positive, which still makes me nuts about why are we asking for, why are we expecting a rate cut? Okay? This is not an economy that calls for a rate cut. It doesn't call for a rate increase either. It calls for patience. But everyone seems to be really impatient about where things are going. Maybe this weekend is going to start solving some of that patience. We'll be back, and we're going to talk about what might be happening in Osaka right after this. You're listening to the King Banyan Show on Business 1440.
Stay tuned for more of the King Banyan Show here on Business 1440.
I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO of Wesley Financial Group and timeshare cancellation advocate. I was sued by the largest timeshare company in federal court for simply helping people cancel their timeshare that they had been lied to about. The jury sized me up and came back with a verdict after only 20 minutes. And yes, I won.
My husband and I are more than grateful to everyone at Wesley Financial Group. You know, thanks to Chuck and his team, we feel as though a weight has been lifted and we can move on without the worry of a troublesome timeshare.
Whether you owe $10,000 to $250,000 on your timeshare, it's my mission to get you out of your timeshare, eliminate your payments, and get them off your back permanently. And we proudly hold an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau.
Want to learn more about getting rid of your troublesome timeshare? Call Wesley Financial Group now for your free consultation. Call 800-653-1188. That's 800-653-1188. 800-653-1188.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head? Comb it over? Wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence, because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, can give you your real natural hair back permanently. They're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to everyone who texts SAVE 22 to 85850. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad, because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. You wash it, you cut it. It's your own real naturally growing hair. And the best part, Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let them show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text SAVE 22 to 85850. That's SAVE 22 to 85850.
We're surrounded by noise, bombarded by information, messages struggling to get attention. So many choices and ways to reach customers. Your message needs to cut through and stand out. Today's technology can do that, but you need the resources and know-how to make it all work. You need Salem Surround. With all the digital marketing tools available and necessary to compete in today's business world, you need to know how to use all the options efficiently. Our team at Salem Surround has the expertise to manage all your digital marketing under one roof. We know digital marketing and how to deliver customers so you can run your business. Get started with a free evaluation of your digital presence and some great ideas to increase your online visibility and revenue. For no limitations on how and where you can reach customers, there's Salem Surround. Total market penetration for increased ROI. Learn more at surroundmsp.com. Surroundmsp.com. Connecting you with new customers.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show. Business 1440. Good morning. How you doing? That's my New England for you. How you doing? What's coming again is more summer. Can't wait. You know what else I can't wait for? I can't wait for people to start agreeing on where this dang economy is. I think I tweeted this to you at Pound KBRS earlier this week, but this study came out from Bankrate.com, which is a place people go to look for, of course, rates on mortgages. Not a surprise there.
It's titled State of the Economy, and it starts with, add the state of the economy to the long list of topics Americans can't seem to agree on. Inflation and unemployment are historically low. The labor market overall remains strong, but Bankrate's latest survey finds that opinions on how well the economy is doing and how close we are to the next recession vary depending on your household income and the political party you're affiliated with. Okay, so guess what? They write that like I should be shocked by that. I'm not shocked. Of course, you know, where you stand depends on where you sit. And how the economy looks to somebody who is a Midwest manufacturing employee versus somebody who works at the local Whole Foods in Southern California probably looks pretty different. It probably looks pretty different. And guess what? My guess is they probably are members of different political parties too. So why is this a shock? Not exactly sure why, but I thought I'd read a little bit of this because I do like this. Everyday Americans have a less favorable view of the economy when compared to experts. Now, they grabbed entirety of nine experts, right? One of whom said the economy is excellent and the other eight who said it's good. None of them responded not so good or poor, but over the 1,000 plus everyday Americans who they interviewed, 12% said the economy was excellent, 47% it was good, and then 27% said not so good, and 12% said poor. And guess what? Not so good or poor? 49% of Democrats thought it was not so good or poor versus 23% of Republicans and 39% of independents. This is not, we act like somehow, well, you know, the side I agree with has the right view. The side I don't agree with has the wrong view. Guess what? Lower income households have a less favorable view of the economy. No kidding. No kidding. If you're making $75,000 a year or more, you tend to think the economy's doing well. 69% think it's excellent or good versus 30% think it's not so good or poor. If you make under $30,000 a year, it's about a 50-50. About half of them think it's doing better. About half of them think it's doing worse. Should this really surprise us? Not in the slightest. This is absurd. And then they're asked, predict the next recession. Look, I believe in getting lots of people together again and getting viewpoints and asking them for their opinion on things that maybe they don't have, they're not experts on. I believe in the wisdom of crowds, which is the title of a lovely book by James Surowiecki. If you've never seen it, it's about a 10-year-old book now. He used to write for the New Yorker. I think he's moved on from the New Yorker to someplace else. If you ask most economists, folks like me, when's the next recession going to happen? Very few of us. I'm now at the point where it's like, well, it can't really happen in 2019. So it could happen sometime in 2020. It could happen sometime in 2021. And if you made me pick one number or the other, I'd probably pick 2020. But it's about as close to a coin flip as I could come. Okay, if you said, okay, I'm putting a gun to your head, you must choose one number, I will choose 2020. But it's like a 52-48 proposition. It's not a 70-30 or an 80-20, let alone a 100 versus nothing proposition. 20% of everyday Americans said the recession has already begun. And 10% say it's going to happen within the next 6 months. Well, guess what? If I look at the breakdown of who they've polled and say, okay, so how many of them, what did the Democrat Americans in the 1,000 everyday citizens say? 27% said the recession has already begun. And only 19% think it's going to happen 2 years from now. On the other hand, 14% of Republicans think the recession has already begun, and 35% think it's not going to happen for another 2 years. Perhaps they think it's going to happen after the next election, and maybe it's because they think they're going to lose the next election, or whatever. Or if they're like me, I tend to think, because my dissertation was actually on the political business cycle way back in the 1980s,
studying the 1972 election, re-election of Richard Nixon. My guess is the economy ends up doing something similar in 2020 to what it did in 1972, where the Nixon administration did everything in its power to make the economy look really, really good, and figuring whatever problems we've created by this, well, we'll solve those in 1973, which is pretty much what they did. They had wage and price controls put in August of 1971 so that inflation wouldn't be a problem in 1972. They closed the gold window so that they would not have to worry about a balance of payments crisis. And they stoked the engine with all kinds of transfer spending, including an increase in Social Security benefits that hit your check if you were a senior citizen receiving Social Security. An increase hit your check in October of 1972. Let's think about that timing. When was the election? It was in November of 1972. So you received a check showing an increase, and it included a letter inside your envelope with your new Social Security payment was a letter announcing the increase. The signature at the bottom of the letter was Richard M. Nixon. Okay, call me crazy, but I think you might see something that looks like this in 2020. I think so. And anyway, as I looked at this study, and I've tweeted this to you at @KBRS, and we'll actually have it reposted here in just a few minutes, just in case you missed it. It's an interesting study. But my point is this. The way people vote determines, it's not necessarily the case that one side has a perception that's wrong. The thing to remember is, and this is kind of what that dissertation I wrote in the 80s was all about, is how you perceive the economy depends on your own personal situation, the most recent observations that you're aware of. Okay, so one of the things I did in the study was show people would say, well, third quarter GDP should really matter to how people voted, or the October unemployment rate, the November unemployment rate should really matter to what happened. And it's like, no, because you don't really know. The news is too fresh. You haven't really absorbed it by the time you go to the voting booth. This problem will become worse the more we see people do absentee voting, without any reason, or mail-in ballots or something like this. The economy will get painted earlier and earlier. And your perception of the economy depends on what kinds of jobs you have, what's happening in your sector, what's happening in your state, what's happening in your city. All of those things are going to matter to you. So people who are using, we're getting to the point where we're going to start using the economy and how people perceive the economy is doing as being a frame through which they look at the 2020 election next year. And this article, this survey, was just one such example. And what the survey says is not actually a terrific representation, at least to my mind, of what is actually happening in the economy right now. The way to actually think about what's happening in the economy is actually to read data, look at data, and try to get a grip on it by having some framework to think about it. That's why you listen to the show. It's why I do this show, right? Is to try to give you a framework to think about. I've got all this information coming to me. What does it mean, King? What do I do with that? And what do I do with this information? And that's kind of what we're trying to get at. So one other thing to pay attention to as we go into 2020 and think about, is there going to be a recession next year? Because a recession next year, everybody can understand, right? That would look really bad for the administration. That would really damage President Trump's reelection chances. My point is, a recession could happen that has nothing to do with anything that President Trump has done. That's a recession that could end up being imported by bad things that happen overseas. China could make a bad mistake with what I think is a very over-leveraged economy. Now, over-leveraged economies do okay, and then all of a sudden they suddenly collapse. There's a sudden stop that happens there. That could happen in China. Okay, they're about, it really looks like Boris Johnson's going to become the next prime minister of Britain. He's had statements that we might have time to talk about today. I'm not sure we will. Maybe we'll do that next week. But he's been making statements about Brexit and whether or not there's going to be a no deal or not a no deal. That could affect Britain, but I think the thing to worry about is, does it have repercussions in the rest of Europe? And to which I say, oh, yeah, you betcha. It's going to definitely have some repercussions in the rest of Europe. So you should think about that. And then you also have to think about places like Brazil, or think about Japan. If there's a shock to the economy here, it might be something that doesn't actually be the result of something that this administration did, but it'll get blamed for it anyway. We'll be back with more. We'll talk about what's happening in Osaka right after this. You're listening to the King Banyan Show on Business 1440.
Most people would like more freedom to do what they want, when they want, and on their own time. At Online Trading Academy, we will teach you the strategies so you can have the freedom to do those things. Whether you're looking for a supplemental income, how to better manage your 401k retirement account, or even know how to manage your broker, we are here for you. Online Trading Academy is the world leader in financial education. We've helped thousands of people just like you become confident, self-directed investors. Online Trading Academy can provide you with valuable skills that can help you accomplish your goals. Now is the time to get started. Join us this week for a free investing class by dialing #250 on your cell phone. Use the keyword OTA. Again, that's #250, keyword OTA, or go to learnwithota.com. Again, learnwithota.com.
This is Albert Mohler for townhall.com. Among the decisions coming out of the Supreme Court this term was a big case on religious liberty. By a 7-2 margin, the court found that the Memorial Cross in Bladensburg, Maryland could remain. The 40-foot cross has honored the World War I dead for nearly 100 years. It's an enormous win. A very key takeaway is what the court did with the Lemon Test, the test of constitutionality of government involvement when it comes to religion. The problem with the Lemon Test is that it has always been subjective and often used in ways that are hostile to religious expression. In his concurring opinion, Justice Neil Gorsuch declared simply, Lemon was a misadventure, and a majority of the justices made clear that the Lemon Test is no more. That's good news. And by a convincing 7-2 majority, the Supreme Court of the United States said that the Bladensburg Cross, and thus other similar crosses and religious expressions, can stand. That, too, is very good news.
Publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu.
American pressure. Spray it, don't say it.
Do you have a pressure washer in your shop that takes diesel fuel or kerosene? Are you tired of filling that tank every day? A stationary pressure washer that heats the water with natural gas or electricity from American Pressure is a great solution. Call us to discover all the ways a new stationary machine could benefit your business. We are always glad to come out to you, look at your current setup, and make recommendations. That new stationary unit will hook up to your existing natural gas line, which will save you both the cost of fuel as well as the time and effort and mess of refueling a pressure washer. The pressure washer will exhaust through the roof of your building or out the sidewall, and if it's an all-electric unit, there will be no exhaust stack at all. In addition, we've got all the right accessories to go with your machine, including trolley systems, hose reels, wands, trigger guns, and everything you need to make the cleaning job as easy and safe as it can be.
Now, back to the King Banyan Show on Business 1440.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show. Business 1440, thank you for listening. So at some point today, there'll be a conversation between Presidents Trump and Xi in Osaka, Japan, at the G20, sort of toward the end. And during the week, there were lots of hints offered by people such as Liu He, the vice premier of China, who is kind of their their economics guru, and Steven Mnuchin, Treasury Secretary here in the United States, that said, we've kind of got 90% of a deal done. That was Mnuchin's words. And word that we are 90% of the way there. And word that leaked out from various sources was something like this. Those tariff increases of 25% that President Trump has been threatening, we're going to take those off the table. Maybe we'll make them only 10%. Maybe we'll not even do them at all. And that was first what came out. And the market just went, yay, right over all that. And then right after that, you started to hear some backtracking and hearing, well, there might be some preconditions on that behavior. So let me get to the so from Fox Business yesterday, Trump and China's Xi trade negotiations may have preconditions. Two world leaders will trade delegations from both sides were scheduled to meet before the one-to-one with the two world leaders. And Vice Premier Liu was spotted headed into Ambassador Lighthizer's hotel in Osaka earlier this morning. This would have been Friday morning. Senior Chinese trade negotiators tell Fox Business no new concessions will be made until the U.S. suspends all tariffs on Chinese imports. Quote, China has always been against unilateral sanctions and economic bullying. Now, if you had economic bullying on your bingo card, check it off. And if it's on your card more than once, you're probably going to get to check it off every chance you can get. As far as the Chinese side is concerned, they continue, the U.S. tariffs have inflicted serious harm on global trade relations, and the U.S. should take meaningful steps to repair a mutually beneficial bilateral relationship. In other words, they're not happy, and they've started to flex their muscle, and they've started to say things about Huawei, even suggesting that the ban on Huawei in the 5G system in the United States has to be lifted, that would be a precondition to a trade deal. You're getting a lot of muscle flexing all of a sudden. Bloomberg reported that in remarks to African leaders this morning, Xi took a not-so-subtle swipe at Trump's policy slogan, America First, warning against, quote, bullying practices, unquote. Did you have that on your scorecard? Xi said that, quote, any attempt to put one's own interests first and undermine others will not win any popularity. Xi then used remarks on the digital economy to call for, quote, fair and equitable market environment and said the, quote, completeness and vitality of global supply chains. It comes as Trump singles out Chinese tech giant Huawei Technologies Company, arguing against its connection to the government mean it could allow Beijing to spy through its equipment and urging countries to avoid the company while developing 5G networks. The same sticking points that were there before are still there. So here is the concern. Here is my concern for you. Okay, I don't think there's a recession coming. I've said that. I don't think there's going to be one next year. I think there might be one next year, but I'm like on a 52-48. What happens over this weekend and what happens now is really, really important in thinking about whether or not this economy slips in the second half. If you've been thinking about what the Federal Reserve might do in terms of a rate cut, if they walk out and say, you know what, we didn't come to an agreement on something. All right, we're going to continue to talk, but we still intend to put the tariffs on. I think even if they say, we're going to put the tariffs on, but the tariffs will be at 10% on the other $300 billion of goods we import from China. We're not going to do 25, but we're going to do 10. That will be sufficient to cause some serious heartburn in the markets on Monday. I think the markets have painted in. There was this line at the beginning of the Reagan administration back in 1980 that he was very cheerful about how the economy was going to do. People who are humored by President Trump's statements about how great the economy is, you might want to go back and listen to statements made by President Reagan back in 1981, because we were in a recession. He kept saying, well, things are going to turn out pretty well. You don't need, you know, these tax cuts we're going to pass are going to really revitalize the economy. And the joke was that the only woman in the Reagan cabinet was Ms. Rosie Scenario. Well, Rosie is going to be, yes, Andrew got it. Rosie's going to be making a reappearance, I believe, sometime this next week. In fact, I think she's already made an appearance in terms of what's happened in the stock market. I am concerned that we may have already overplayed the hand of a thawing of trade tensions. We're still in a situation which is, I think, very much fraught with concern, for me at least. Right? There are a few signs, okay? So there's a, this is from, I'm going to read a little bit of this. This is from Bill Bishop, who writes a website called Sinicism. It's a newsletter that has clippings from everywhere in China. I've got to find you this piece. This was in the Wall Street Journal. Among the preconditions, said Chinese officials with knowledge of the plan, Beijing is insisting that the U.S. remove its ban on the sale of U.S. technology to Chinese telecommunications giant Huawei Technologies. Beijing also wants the U.S. to lift all punitive tariffs and to drop efforts to get China to buy even more U.S. exports than Beijing said it would when the two leaders met last met in December. Despite his preconditions, Mr. Xi isn't expected to take a confrontational tone with Mr. Trump, according to the Chinese officials. Rather, they say he will sketch out what he envisions as an optimal bilateral relationship. Well, I got to tell you what. Making fun of America first and talking about bullying is probably not going to really help with this. This is also from the Wall Street Journal piece. The Chinese leader isn't expected to make big concessions at his meeting with Mr. Trump. That is because he is facing increased political pressure on the home front to stand firm against Washington, which is seen among elite Chinese political circles as unfairly accusing China of a range of misdeeds, from violating intellectual property protection, improperly subsidizing state-owned enterprises, and spying on U.S. firms. Trump's response? I will impose very substantial additional tariffs if no deal is reached. Although it's possible to reach a good deal, Trump said his plan B may include a 10% tariff on the remaining $600 billion worth of goods. He says, this is a quote from him while he was boarding a helicopter on Thursday. So we have much more than $300 billion worth of products. Now what's going to happen? All those companies will move out of China. Most of them, they're going to move to other places like Vietnam and other places to take advantage of us. And we'll start working on that too. I don't want to do too many at one time. Well, that's going to work out well, sir. So put this together, you keep reading and I read now, from the South China Morning Post, posted Saturday morning. Chinese President Xi Jinping on Friday called on the leaders of Russia and India to take global responsibility to safeguard the three countries' interests and uphold multilateralism, as Beijing seeks to rally support amid its protracted trade war with Washington. Xi made the remarks during a trilateral meeting with Vladimir Putin and Narendra Modi on the sidelines of the annual G20 summit. The trilateral meeting was part of the Chinese leader's efforts to marshal international support ahead of his high-stakes meeting with U.S. President Donald Trump, seeking to reach a truce on the year-long trade conflict between the world's two biggest economies. Here's the quote. The rise in protectionism and unilateralism has severely affected global stability and economic growth, as well as the existing international order on which emerging economies and developing countries have relied on. China, Russia, and India should take on global responsibility to safeguard the fundamental and long-term interests of these three countries and the world. They called on countries to promote a more multipolar world and a democratization of international relations. What does this mean? I think what it really means is we're probably not going to get the deal that you think we're going to get. We'll talk about that a little bit more after this. King Banyan Show, Business 1440. Turn to sunny ones.
Business 1440 is KYCR Golden Valley.
Maybe you'd like to know what exactly Relief Factor is. It was created by doctors. It's a 100% drug-free supplement with four key ingredients that simply help your own body deal with the natural inflammatory response that it has. It's easy to swallow, four little capsules in each packet, like the packet that I carry with me at all times. Three packets a day for a week, then two packets a day for 2 weeks, and I have just described the three-week quick start. And you will know in 3 weeks. That's the beauty of it. Whether it works, they don't drag you on. That costs just $19.95. There's a very good chance that a very serious percentage of my listeners suffer from some sort of muscular or joint pain. You should try this for $19.95. That's all you can lose. If it works, they will send it to you automatically. If it doesn't work, tell them not to send any shipments. And it's as simple as that. It is all at ReliefFactor.com. I've been using it for years now. ReliefFactor.com.
It may not require a textbook, but it's filled with valuable lessons. It may not take place in a classroom, but it's an ideal environment for learning. It may not involve a diploma, but it can help prepare Minnesota's young people for life. It's high school sports. High school sports can play a critical role in a student's overall education. In fact, studies show that students that participate in high school sports are more likely to enjoy greater levels of achievement in their academic lives. If you think high school sports are only about competition, think again. Better yet, think about attending a high school sporting event in your community. You'll be amazed by what you see. High school sports, a winning part of a complete education. This message presented by the Minnesota State High School League and the Minnesota Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
I should have done it sooner. That's a comment heard often from satisfied patients at IneedMoreHair.com. Dennis Prager here. If you've been exploring solutions for your hair loss, go to IneedMoreHair.com and see what they're doing for men and women like you. The consultations are free and the results are amazing. You'll be under the care of some of the most experienced hair transplant specialists in the country. Their doctors have given patients from around the world, including notable Hollywood personnel, a full head of hair. They can do the same for you. Their technique is so advanced that their results are guaranteed in writing and their prices are the best in the business. If you have hair loss, don't put this off another day. Contact IneedMoreHair.com at their office in Eagan for your free consultation. Experience you can trust, prices you can afford. Today is the day to get a permanent solution to your hair loss at IneedMoreHair.com.
Now, back to the King Banyan Show on Business 1440.
Oh, the lonely days are gone. I'm coming home. Well, my baby, she wrote me a letter.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show, Business 1440. I love this song. Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to find my way.
You know, if it lasted 10 minutes, I might just say, oh, just play this. Goodness gracious, I ain't got anything to say that's better. But I do have a job to do. And that job is to think about what's going to happen. So if you listened for the entire hour, and if you, in case you haven't, I'm going to restate. We're recording this on Friday night, so I may say something in the next I may say something in the next 9 minutes that's superseded by events that happen overnight. It's possible. I can't predict exactly what will happen. I believe the meeting is to start at noon, and I think that's noon Osaka time, which would be approximately about 9 hours before now. So there may very well be an announcement that happens between now and then. I might be wrong. That might be noon U.S. Eastern East Coast time, in which case, of course, it hasn't happened yet. So I'm not positive exactly when they're meeting, so I'm going to be a little careful about this. But what we were talking about in the previous segment is Xi Jinping, for a variety of reasons, perhaps because he got out, or Liu He got a little out over his skis and negotiated a deal that the Politburo of the Chinese Communist Party wouldn't accept, or perhaps realizing that not realizing that Lou had agreed to things that she never wanted to agree to. Or perhaps they misread the tea leaves and thought the economy in the United States was in a weaker position because of things Trump was saying vis-a-vis Jay Powell. We'll talk about those in the next segment, in the next hour. We're going to play you a clip that just will make you nuts. It makes me nuts. Anyway, we think that she has backtracked in all of the rhetoric on the Chinese side in the last, I would say, 6 weeks worth, has been a progression of statements that have appeared to say, no, the deal we were headed to back in March and April, that's dead. We're not going to have that. You can't take the vice president of Huawei hostage up in Vancouver. You can't ban Huawei from doing business here. You can't just keep applying tariffs and think you can back me into a corner, and so forth. And there's all kinds of hawkish talk regarding China. There are lots of people that are speaking like, hey, you know, China really is a threat and we really need to be careful about that. And I agree with some of that. I find that really interesting. I find one of the most interesting points I read in the last week, I can't remember who posted it. It might be Christopher Balding, who used to be a professor in mainland China and left because he didn't feel like he could stay there anymore. I'm not sure if he felt political threat. I don't know if he felt a police presence or what have you, but he decided to leave. But one of the things that he pointed out that I thought was really interesting, the sharpest critics of China right now are our younger scholars. I think that's interesting. And I think they're worth listening to because they may be better tuned in to, for example, Chinese social media and actually have better news sources than those of us that don't speak Chinese and have to rely on the U.S. press or English language Chinese materials, which are controlled by the Chinese government to tell us what to think. Okay, we have to be a little careful about how we absorb that. But I now want you to think about what it is that President Trump is facing as he goes into that meeting. How is he feeling right now? Well, the beginning of the hour, I told you, right? The economy has had a pretty good run. We've just ended a week where the Dow now is going to end up over 24%. It's the highest gain since 1938. The S&P is going to be up in the month of June over 8%. That's going to probably be the best number since before I was born. Okay, going all the way back to 1955. I wasn't born in 55, but that's the last time the market went up by more than 8% on the S&P within June. He's got to be feeling pretty fat and sassy. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way about his weight or anything. I just mean he's got to be feeling like he's holding a pretty good hand. I'm just thinking about playing this hand like a poker hand. Okay? You're holding a poker hand. You think your hand is strong. Right? Your opponent shows weakness and is agreeing and following along and is kind of playing the hand the way you think the hand's supposed to go. And you think you're about to win the hand when all of a sudden he does something that's a little bit cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, which is kind of what the Chinese did. They come out with all of a sudden they release a statement and say, oh, no, you know what? We can't write all this down. We need to make these changes, and all these changes take back agreements that they had agreed to. It's something that's not done. The provocation, even though the Chinese are making all kinds of noise, it has to be clearly stated that the provocation that led to the breakdown in the trade negotiations back in April were really started on the Chinese side. I don't see how you don't have to be a sycophantic supporter of the Trump administration to come to that conclusion. I don't think I am. I think I've been pretty clear that I try to call balls and strikes. I do not think you can blame the Trump administration for the breakdown of the negotiations that happened in March and April. I think that's entirely on the Chinese side. And the Chinese have now played out a hand in which they've tried to demonstrate that they're strong and they're not going to be bullied. The word they use, they're not going to be forced into a corner, and they're going around trying to collect people everywhere they see. Now, if you're Now, I'm not thinking about this in terms of politics, okay? I'm not trying to do international diplomacy here. I'm doing it like you are playing a hand of poker, that you are actually engaged in a two-person game. You have what you think is a strong hand. Between April and now, what do you see? You see a very strong stock market. You see signals that indicate, well, okay, first quarter GDP was really good, second quarter GDP, the numbers this week have looked pretty good. And then you look at the stock market, and then you look over at the Federal Reserve, who's been a real pain in your side, and what do you see? You see Jay Powell back on his heels. You see a couple Fed presidents who are out there saying, you know what, we need to cut the rate. We need to cut the rate. One of them, and we talked about this last week with President Kashkari, saying, you know what, we need to cut 50 basis points. By the way, President Bullard, who voted for a 25% cut, says 50 is too much. Okay, so there's one guy at 50, there's one guy at 25. There might be a couple other people who are at 25 who are non-voting and haven't expressed their opinion yet. And then there's everybody else who's at constant. But President Trump thinks he's going to get his rate cut. And so if you think your economy's strong, you're going to get a rate cut, you're heading into the 2020 election with an economy that's currently growing at 3%, are you going to muck your cards and decide, oh, I give up, I'll take all those tariffs back? Are you going to actually toss your hand in? No. You're going to play strong. You're going to say, oh yeah, you want to raise me? Re-raise. Okay. Doesn't he seem like the kind of guy that splashes his chips in the pot, by the way? Okay. Just makes a rattle as they go into the middle of the table. I kind of think so. So I think, again, I'm doing this with you on a Friday night, not knowing what happens on Saturday morning, but I'm saying there's a non-zero probability they walk out of that meeting and both of them have tried to call the other one's hand and say, you're bluffing, and they walk out with nothing. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's what the market is expecting. You read the statements of the banking experts and the experts in the banking houses around the world. They all expect at least a standstill on new tariffs. I'm not sure of that. I'm just not sure of that. So if they're still talking by the time you hear this, a few minutes before 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning, I'm telling you, go watch the news, but come back first for a second hour of the King Banyan Show here on Business 1440. We'll be right back.
If it was 1990, you'd be listening to your favorite radio station on a bulky boombox that burns through D batteries faster than you can say, "You've got mail." Thankfully, it's the 21st century, and there are better alternatives. For example, just ask Alexa to tune in.
Alexa, play Business Radio 1440.
Throw out that old beeper and get with the times. Listen to your favorite Business 1440 hosts and shows with Alexa and Amazon smart speakers.
Mitch Berg from the Northern Alliance here for Kingdom Builders. You've heard them on this station. They say they're not great salesmen, just great roofers. But if you're a homeowner, you've heard the horror stories from your neighbors about roofers who were great salesmen, but terrible roofers, about contractors with no integrity. So my first call was to the roofers who make their integrity the center, not just of their business, but of their lives. That's the Kingdom Builders. And yeah, they are great roofers. I have a challenging roof. Third floor, lots of details, and it was last re-roofed when I was just out of high school. And yet, from the moment they showed up, I had the confidence. I wasn't just going to get a great roof. I wasn't going to get that heartburn you get when trying out a new contractor. So yeah, they are great roofers and genuinely great people to work with. And I have the nicest looking roof on my block. So call 612-900-9166. That's 612-900-9166. Or find them online at thekingdombuilders.net. Tell them Mitch Berg sent you and he loves his new roof.
Hello, I'm Mark Stoneman, president of WNAV Audiovisual. WNAV Audiovisual provides equipment and technicians for events of all sizes, from a handful of people to large ballrooms and convention centers as well. We also provide installation services for churches, schools, and corporations. No matter how many people are at your event, WNAV has the technicians and expertise along with the equipment to make each event successful. Audiovisual services include equipment such as sound systems, microphones, projection systems with screens, laptops, draping, lighting, and all the related equipment, and also web streaming services, so your meeting can go beyond the four walls of your space. WNAV Audiovisual, where your meeting is our business. Please contact us at wnav-video.com.
If you could cook up the world's greatest radio station, what ingredients would you need? We'd start by mixing in high-quality, free-range wellness experts. Then we'd add in a generous scoop of the topics that matter most to you. Finally, we'd stir in a certified organic website full of helpful resources and garnish with a specialized mobile app. No, it's not some half-baked idea. It's on the air right now. Wellness Radio 1570, online at TwinCitiesWellnessRadio.com.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.